There are some weeks when it is quite astonishing when you listen to the scriptures yet again. I've been a priest for 20 years, so these readings have come up a few times, I've got to admit, over the last 20 years. But when something kind of strikes you for the first time after all that time, it does indeed astonish you. And today I am astonished by how in one reading we are taught so much about how to live, about repentance, and about being called. Repentance is a word that we hear most often in Lent. Repent, 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 and most of us equate that with guilt, guilt, guilt. The church has been very effective over the centuries of instilling the word and the feeling and the knowledge and the action of guilt into our lives. We think about it, we act out of it, and sometimes, and most of the time, we suffer because of it. But repentance doesn't mean guilt. To repent means to change direction. That's it. Change direction. Do you hear the word guilt in there? I don't. And it's quite astonishing to think, imagine if you're doing something wrong and instead of someone berating you for it, they say, you should probably change direction. Perhaps a little more helpful. There have been times in my life when I've been consumed by guilt, and I don't know about you, but I never was that creative or inspirational or did that many great things when I was acting out of guilt. If someone had just said to me, you're supposed to just change direction now, that would have been more helpful. Guilt is a catalyst. It's an honest feeling, and it's a well-deserved feeling at times, but it's a catalyst for us to think about repenting. Repenting is about a little bit like growing up and taking responsibility, whereas guilt is often just wallowing in what maybe we might have or could have or should have done. Repentance is about change. When I was in New Zealand, one of my friends, I think I was wallowing a bit, maybe once, over something I had done. And my friend Anne, in true straightforward New Zealand fashion, and Anne is not a very tall person, but she stood up to me and said, Beth, build a bridge and get over it. And I thought, how dare you? But you know, after I got past my astonishment and a little touch of anger, perhaps, I realized she was right. Build a bridge. Fix it. Do what you can. And get over it. Move on. Don't live there. Don't live on the other side of the river where you made a mistake, where you're doing the wrong thing. Just build a bridge and get over it. How refreshing. In today's gospel, Jesus is preaching, repent. Repent. And he says that, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven had come near because it was in him. He is the kingdom of heaven. And as he walks by the people, preaching and teaching and healing, the kingdom of heaven is going right by them. And when someone walks by, you'll know what it's like if you're sitting on a bench on the street and someone walks by. Sometimes you don't notice them. Sometimes they catch your eye and you follow them with your eyes. Well, Jesus is saying, follow me. See me and follow me. And Jesus never kind of says randomly, hey, you people over there, hey, this group over here, yeah, just come and follow me. He doesn't do that. He says, dumb, hands, pat. He calls people by name. He doesn't randomly invite great multitudes. He says to them, Andrew, James, Peter, Simon, come, follow me. In Corinthians, we hear today how Paul says, I was Saul, and now I am Paul. He changed, his name changed, because of he decided to follow. Do you know what your name means? Julian, do you know what your name means? Do you know what Julian means? Okay, that's a little piece of homework for you. But the good news is, Julian, it's not for you, it's for everybody today. If you don't know what your name means, try and find out. My name, Elizabeth, means my God is bountiful in Hebrew. And I don't know if my parents chose that intentionally. I suspect they did, because I know a bit of story. I suspect they did choose it partially because of its meaning. But it's really been important to me over the years as I've grown and developed to think about what my name means and to grow into it. What does it mean to be bountiful? My God is bountiful. And so that has become a touchstone for me. And if I'm not living up to my name, then maybe I should look at it again and remember what it means. Because we're not usually known well by the roles that we play. You're not known by, no, people don't walk by the street and say, high priest, to me. They might use another title, like rector or whatever. And I remember when I was ordained deacon in Kelowna at St. Michael and All Angels, and that was fine. They all knew me as Beth. When I was ordained priest 11 months later, I actually had people come up to me the hour before the service and said, what do we call you now? I said, what do you mean? They said, well, you're getting ordained a priest, so now what do we call you? I said, well, what did you call me yesterday? Beth. I said, well, that'll do for tomorrow as well. And still Beth. And so it's kind of important to remember that. At my induction a couple of weeks ago, one of my good friends was there. Her name was Eliza Jane. And that was great. Eliza Jane and I were chatting, and I went off to visit some other people. All of a sudden, I heard this commotion. And it was my sister-in-law and her sister and a couple other people who went, it's Maria. Eliza Jane was Maria in The Sound of Music. And so my friend Eliza Jane, who was there as my friend Eliza Jane, all of a sudden throughout the hall was broadcast, it's Maria! And she handled it with great grace and dignity, as she always does, because you know, in Maria, when I watched her on stage, I thought, wow, that is so Eliza Jane. But not completely. That's a role she's playing. She is still very much her. And so it's important to know your name and what you're called to. Because when you're called, you have to listen for your name. That's the interesting thing in this reading. Jesus first says, repent, change direction. And as soon as that happens, he says, and come and follow me. So the idea of changing a direction is not necessarily about always making things right. It means reorienting ourselves. Reorienting ourselves from the way we're going that might not have turned out that great, or it might have, who knows. But listening for the call of your name, that you're supposed to turn and go this way, or maybe that way, to follow. The last year has been incredible for that in my life because a year ago, of course, I was at Ashbury College, quite happily ensconced there, but I kept sensing I was supposed to come maybe to St. John's. And it was very particular. There was no one more surprised than the bishop whenever I said to him, I think I'm supposed to go to St. John's. What? Now, what is interesting about that is not so much all of that story, which is a great story, but 2 years ago, before that, you were looking for a priest, were you not? I was coming back from New Zealand. I didn't have a job. So why wasn't I here then? Why did I come back to Kelowna and yet get called to Ashbury? I could have come to St. John's then, technically. Well, after 5 months, I can tell you there is no way I could have been your priest 2 years ago. Maybe you never would have asked me 2 years ago. Call is particular. It says, go in this direction, and when you're called to go in this direction, you need to go in that direction. For whatever the reasons, I know I could never be here now if I had not been at Ashbury. The things I learned there, I'm able to bring here. The things you learned with Rob for a couple of years are things that bring to our life now. And so call is very much about paying attention and doing it in the right moment, in the right time. Ordinary people every day are called, you and I, in our ordinary lives, to have a relationship with other ordinary people so we can do extraordinary things together. That's what we're called to do. Jesus asks us to stop, listen, turn, don't live in the guilt, but take it and use it and learn from it and move forward together. When we had our baptisms, there's a wonderful two lines that should remind us of not only this gospel, but what we're called to. Receive the light of Christ, to show that you have passed from darkness to light. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Repentance and call by name at our baptism. And so as we leave this place today, find out what your name means. It might make a difference. Listen for the call. And don't forget to change direction when you're asked. Amen.